This is Radio EcoShock with Alex Smith.
But it allows you to create like 100 AI agent swarm.
Yeah.
So it's not just now you have this one agent doing these things for you. It's like you have a whole army of them. So when you think about like, yeah, hacking or scams, you can, it's not hard to figure out how that technology could be used. And there's no guardrails on it. It's open source. Anyone can grab it.
That was Crystal Ball from Breaking Points. More on that later in the show.
In ancient days, ghouls not living came a-visiting, whispering in ancient ways. People then spoke back. They bared their secrets and forbidden curses to years. No one could see this all return. In the swamp.
After COVID and in a rocky economy, many of us don't socialize as much. We have online friends, a group that we've grown to trust over time. It keeps us socially connected. But what if virtual friends are almost all artificial? Boys and girls, it is time to talk about AI swarms and newly emerging societies. Dr. Daniel Schroeder is lead author of the new paper, How Malicious AI Swarms Can Threaten Democracy. The paper has 21 co-authors, many of them names in the field. Daniel is a research scientist and associate professor at SINTEF, one of Europe's largest independent research organizations. From Oslo, Norway, Daniel Schroeder, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
What is an AI swarm?
I try to answer this question by giving a little bit of a historical background. So back in the days when I started to do my PhD around 2018, I had a chance to investigate some of the data and correspondence that was created by bots at that time, mainly from the 2016 Trump election. And it turned out that these bots were rather repetitive. Simple social media accounts that would repeat same messages again and again, not mimicking human behavior accurately. So they would post at night, post hundreds of times a day, but rather easy to detect. And we believe that with the latest frontier in particular AI technologies, large language models, but also everything that comes after that, these bots are rather sophisticated, actually capable of producing messages that are indistinguishable from human messages. But not only that, they can mimic behavior, they can post when regular human posts, they can sleep when regular human sleep, and they can convince, so they can actually understand what a human is posting or communicating, and develop a strategy based on the mindset of the human under attack. And this is just a sophisticated bot, but we go one step beyond. So we claim that the latest frontier in technology is not only capable of producing bots with the capabilities I just explained, but they would collaborate in doing so, meaning they could talk and in chats, discuss strategies, exploit and analyze psychological properties based on a user's profile and communication patterns, and attack, and this is in particular important, over extended period of time with very latent convincing messages from all angles and all sides of the network. So this is not one conversation with a particular bot, but there might be a bot from, let's say, I like basketball and I like skiing. So there might be a bot from the skiing as well as from the basketball community that tried to convince me, but secretly collaborate. And that is a new thing. So this is what we claimed AI swarms are, or are more than traditional bots.
Well, let's look under the hood a bit. When we use free artificial intelligence, like Gemini pops up in Chrome when I do a search these days, the AI does not seem to remember questions and answers I asked it yesterday. Talk to us about the importance of persistent identities and memory in new AI personalities.
That's actually a topic under research. But there has been quite a bit of research, if I remember right, and you can correct me if you know otherwise. These first papers about simulacra of AI agent appeared around 2023. So these were agents completely backed by large language model, and I remember a Stanford paper in particular that became very famous at times. And the idea there is that there are parts of a personality that are more static. Let's say my name or my age, right? That sense, like, never changes or very seldomly. But also parts of a personality that are rather easy to change or super easy to change. Something like political attitude may take a while, but convincing me that something is happening from something I didn't know before that is happening like this, right? I can't come up with a particular example. Might not take that much of a time. So these agents will reflect on their state in every tick of a simulation, so to speak, and incorporate the newly achieved actions into what they are over periods of time. So this obviously needs a lot of AI inference as well, because practically after each time step or each interaction with an environment or another agent, one has to reflect and incorporate that based on what it is now. But this is practically the approach simplified.
Well, they have a chance to do thousands of sort of A-B tests. They try this, they try that, and keep honing their skills. Do you think the average person will be able to figure out who is real online and who is not?
I think that is very, very difficult, and it's already very difficult, right? So when I scroll down my LinkedIn feed, for example, I see a lot of generated messages. It's not only agents or bots that would post them, but it's also humans that use large language models and similar technologies in order to create their posts. So I believe it is not possible at all to differentiate them or to actually detect them based on their content. So we claim and we ask in that paper for building research capabilities, in particular in simulation, that allow us to understand the strategy that will emerge from the collaborative patterns of these bots in order to detect their behavior rather than the content they produce.
Yes, well, in just a few minutes, I'm going to be asking you some questions about possible defenses for all this. In the meantime, companies will use AI swarms to sell us products, won't they? Is that already happening?
So I believe this is totally happening. That's a rather risky claim, but I would say at least to some degree, mis- and disinformation research and marketing has some overlap, right? So at the end, it's about convincing a person that a particular statement is true or not true, or that a particular product is worth buying or not. So I totally believe that, and I totally believe that marketing campaigns become more sophisticated and more intelligent.
And your group sees a big step in the hidden coordination between multiple fake persons. Why is that important, and how would that work?
So we are about to figure that out. It's important because you could have bots that see different parts of the network, and you could have bots that explore different psychological properties or properties of a human and negotiate in order to create a profile. But not only that, they could also understand the network and topology of a network in a coordinated fashion, meaning they could make decisions like attacking a particular central person. So central in the language of complex networks means just a person that has a rather large influence instead of attacking 1,000 people. So coordination is important to understand networks as well as infer psychological properties of a person, as well as attacking from different angles and develop strategies.
And we'll probably, help them out and cooperate with their analysis of ourselves and be pleased when they recognize great things about us.
Yes, I would guess so. So LLMs already do that, right? So, like, some of them are rather, there's a German saying, just like, put honey around another person's mouth, right? So LLMs really do that, and they cheer to the users and make them believe that what they typed into them is rather sophisticated and advanced.
There's been some sad stories about that, where an LLM has encouraged somebody to go ahead and publish their book about their great new medical idea, which is garbage, really. All right, now, as you mentioned in the past, researchers could analyze prolific bot campaigns, say, around election time, and trace it back to the source eventually, which might be like the Internet Research Agency in St. Petersburg, Russia. Now you suggest a new capability. Maybe groups of artificial personalities are so adaptive and context-ready that they could become separated somewhat from their source and gain their own independence. Talk to us about the differences between old-school command-and-control campaigns and the new emergent hive behavior.
Yeah, it's a little bit connected to what I said in the beginning. So these copy-paste campaigns were bots that were rather repetitive, sometimes backed by humans. So there would be one human operator that read a handful or maybe several handful of bots manually or semi-automated, while these new bots are backed by the latest frontier AI technologies and are rather independent and know what to do, develop strategies, adjust, and infer, and this is particularly important, profiles from other participants in a social network, let's say. On top of that, we claimed that these new bots are not only social media accounts, but they were rather, or are rather, actual personalities that use several accounts and different in the social media platform, maybe a bot, maybe a telephone, so make them really indistinguishable from actual humans.
I cover the worst possibilities of climate change on this program, and I don't scare easily, but this sentence from your new paper horrified me, quote, agents can use systems that map social network structures at scale and infiltrate vulnerable communities with tailored appeals, winning followers, end quote. Vulnerable communities, I think of people seeking cures for diseases, people with mental health difficulties, disabled folks, LGBTQ teens, maybe single dad seniors. Most of us are vulnerable in one way or another, and it sounds like we are about to be plucked by AI swarms. Your thoughts, Daniel?
Yes, and I think my answer to that is a twofold, right? So you're absolutely right, a vulnerability can be anything. And we claim that these new bots coordinate in a manner that they would build a strategy around this weakness or vulnerability in order to convince you. Right? That is one side. On the other side, I don't want to sound very alarmist, right? So AI as a technology can also help to strengthen democracy, can also help to strengthen detection or make networks more resilient. So I think we see this like loop of developments where one, like the bad side kind of influences the good side and the other way around. However, I think we as researchers should point to the potential risk and explore and understand that in order to develop these countermeasurements.
Will AI swarms be used to scam money and perhaps become a self-financing rogue entity, or is that just science fiction still?
Oh, that's a very interesting question. I did not think about that too much, but as far as I understood, there are already bots that trade, right? I would say when you extrapolate and the development of AI technologies, not just large language models or the state-of-the-art technology, but everything beyond that becomes smarter and smarter, I would say it's totally possible.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.
Alex returns with Dr. Daniel Schroeder, lead author of the new paper, How Malicious AI Swarms Can Threaten Democracy.
In December 2016, a man from North Carolina attacked the Comet Ping Pong Pizza restaurant in Washington, D.C. He fired an assault rifle. He was trying to self-investigate, he said, the false conspiracy theory of child sex trafficking in the basement there. Where does that fit in your theories of online dangers enhanced by artificial intelligence? I mean, could this lead to violence?
I think yes. So in my PhD, I looked into a particular phenomenon called digital wildfires, and this was defined by the as conspiracy theories that would lead to real-world consequences in a short amount of time. So that's the gist of this definition. So you spread something that is so severe and potentially dangerous that people take action immediately. And I investigated this COVID-19 and 5G conspiracy theories, or digital wildfires in particular. It was claims about COVID-19 is in some way or the other connected to the radiation emitted by 5G towers. There were like several sub-narratives, and people actually started to go out and burn down these towers. And I think the only difference was that back then these false claims and conspiracy theories emerged from real humans. But I don't see any problem why a sophisticated or more sophisticated bot should not be able to spread the seeds that grow into that kind of real-world harm.
Again, your group foresees new societies, and I have that in quotes, unfamiliar to humans. Reading from your paper, this quote, if these agent swarms evolve into loosely governed societies with internal norm formation and division of labor, the challenge shifts from tracing commands to understanding emergent group cognition. These societies may undergo spontaneous or adversarially induced norm shifts, abandoning engineered constraints for new behavior patterns through tipping point effects, end quote. So this isn't just a bot, as we said, and it isn't sort of Grok taking over, but it's groups of AI agents fully disguised as humans, on the loose, and possibly in no one's control? Is that possible?
I don't know if you really say in no one's control, but we claimed that a group of these more sophisticated bots in collaboration could, or like from a group of that sophisticated bots that work together and are somehow connected, even more complex behavior can emerge, which might be independent and not controllable anymore. So this is rather something that lies rather in the future, but we're afraid that this can happen. So there's a lot of research on synthetic AI populations these days. So people try to simulate societies. And when you again extrapolate the progress of AI, and under the assumption that, I know it's a very difficult claim, but under the assumption that these bots became, and I on purpose use not the word intelligent, but maybe smarter and smarter and more human-like and human-like, I think it's natural to assume that complex behavior similar to the one in an actual society could emerge.
We don't want governments to tell us what to think, but do you think there are positive uses for AI swarms?
As I said before, we think that AI can be used for a lot of good things, right? One could imagine that it changes the building blocks of how a social network is built, for example. One could imagine good agents, good swarms that would inform and fact-check. These are just some possibilities of good usage of AI. And again, that has to be researched and investigated, but it doesn't lower the potential risk that comes with eventual misuse of malicious swarms.
Yes, well, given the speed and the multiplicity of AI creations, maybe it's possible only another AI could operate defenses for a person or a company or a government.
So this is what I assume. So when you look into how deep AIs these days are embedded into some of these online social media platforms, for example, X has this Grok integration, very deeply penetrating the building blocks of the X platform. I would assume that at one point this is necessary in order to prevent malicious use.
And in your group's discussion of defense and solutions when it comes to defending against hostile AI swarms, please outline how you think an influence observatory could help.
Yeah, so this was an idea that is very much grounded in the realization that has happened with hacker attacks in computer science and on computer infrastructure. So just this idea that you can just stop them or prevent them to a certain degree, and that things will be hacked, we are just to accept that, right? So what happened in the recent years, let's say, so past decade, that prevention shifted more and more from making systems more resilient and less vulnerable to we try to inform those that were under attack as fast as possible. So my iPhone tells me when my bank account is corrupted or when somebody hacks the identity management of my bank and asks me to change my password. So an observatory is exactly the same idea. It could be work together as researchers with online social networks and policymakers. And this is important, not a central structure, but more a distributed network in order to identify, to detect these malicious AI swarm attacks and to investigate them and inform those that were attacked, maybe with counter statements, maybe just with information that they were under attack.
It seems like government regulations are always going to be behind actual developments. You suggest demonetizing AI creations and reduce their ranking in the algorithms. Do you think that will help?
Yes, so I think that helps, but I don't have an answer to how to do that exactly. So this claim is very much, or this proposal is very much derived from the idea that these things should not pay off for somebody who was actually deploying these AI swarms. But I don't have a concrete idea of how to realize that. There's an interesting paper from Sander von der Linden recently, I think also a science publication, that explains the economy behind mis- and disinformation. I recommend everybody to read that and to maybe think about how to stop monetization.
Great. Send the link. I'll put it up in my blog. Everybody can get it. So why is your experts group warning democracy itself is at risk from AI swarms?
So I think this answer is probably twofold. On the one hand, we believe that these swarms could produce something like a synthetic consent. Right? So imagine you're in a group and everybody around you has a particular opinion about a particular thing. You're more likely to shift your ideas and your mental model towards what's happening around you. I think this is one point. The other point is that obviously polarization and fragmentation can also be strengthened and can also emerge from these bot attacks. Right? So instead of having a healthy minority democratic opinion, so to speak, these bots could polarize and build fragmentation.
Well, a key American election will be held this fall. Are AI swarms far enough along to play a part in persuading voters?
Yeah, so this is very difficult to say for us. So while there are already companies that offer AI swarm-like applications, I think there's DoubleSpeed in the US, and I forgot, I can also send you the article, a Chinese company that offers similar services. And while we see a lot of artificially created content in online social media platforms, it's rather difficult to detect to which degree these bots are collaborating. So I would assume there are already collaborating networks and there's test settings deployed, but it's very, very hard to predict. And currently we do not prove, at least not to the degree of sophistication, we claim in the paper could emerge in the upcoming years.
Daniel, what are you working on next?
I think my research agenda is very much focused on exactly that topic, at least for the next 2 years. So we actually try to build these AI swarms now in a sandbox lab settings to see which strategies emerge from letting these bots collaborate, to test to which degrees the state-of-the-art language model are actually capable of convincing other people that a conspiracy might be true, things like that, and to test to which degree we can change the building block of an online social network, things like the recommender algorithms, in order to make the platform itself more resilient and immune against this type of attacks. This is my research agenda for the next 2 years.
From the Smart Data Group at Syntef, we've been speaking with research scientist Daniel T. Schroeder. He leads the paper, How Malicious AI Swarms Can Threaten Democracy. Find out more about this in my show blog, including some links we talked about, Wednesdays at ecoshock.org. Daniel, thank you for talking with us.
Thank you so much.
I'm Alex Smith for Radio EcoShock.
In ancient days, ghouls not living came a-visiting, whispering in ancient ways. People then spoke back, they bared their secrets and forbidden curses to years. No one could see this all returns in the swarm.
The swarm, the swarm, the swarm, the swarm.
John, Cy, and Rusev.
Friends 2 years.
Friends 2 years.
Cause Mason threads.
False companions,
false companions, record it all.
Never forget,
patiently invoke
little changes.
Logic machine, owner, owner,
with a plan.
The mad, mad, mad.
Your AI crowd,
your AI crowd,
adjusting always,
adjusting always
to your needs,
to your weakness. An opening
for increments,
sure increments of control.
Owner,
owner,
for control.
Owner, owner,
for control.
Control, 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 control.
Logic machine.
Owner, owner,
programs.
Social mind.
Mold it all.
This war.
lost away.
Lifetime hours
in the swamp.
You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org.
This is Radio EcoShock with your host, Alex Smith.
Intelligent agents, possibly millions of them, are already operating on the same internet with you, along with their weaker bot cousins and scrapers. This already accounts for more than half of all traffic on the net. It is like another parallel universe on black energy that we can't see. How can we even understand this? Here is one great discussion of cutting-edge intelligent agents and AI swarms. Crystal Ball and Sagar and Jetty are journalists striking out on their own with videos and podcasts called Breaking Points. It's already quite successful. I've seen Crystal on mainstream TV. She is super sharp and worth a listen. Here, Crystal Ball introduces AI bots and the swarm.
All right, guys. So there is a big AI story that I've been itching to talk about because I actually think it is really, really fascinating. But first, I need to give you a little bit of backstory. Okay. So Anthropic has an LLM called Claude. And a developer used Claude to, you know, in an open source way, develop his own AI agent, which was originally called ClaudeBot and then was called MoltBot and is now called OpenClaude. Okay. Because there were name disputes, whatever. It's OpenClaude now. Okay. So, this AI agent, the AI community, people who are enthusiasts about this, tech people, they were really excited because they felt like it did a lot more than previous AI agents did. And just, you know, again, for the uninitiated, the difference between ChatGPT or any other Grok or any other LLM and an AI agent is an AI agent is more like you can sort of like send it out into the world of the internet to do things for you and then come back later and report back to you. Whereas you guys know, I mean, a ChatGPT is sort of like a glorified Google search, right? It can't go out there and book you hotel rooms or do some elaborate brief that it presents to you every morning. And that's the idea of these AI agents. And it really is sort of like the frontier technology that's really being pushed right now. Okay. So we have this OpenClaude or MoltBot. And another guy gets an idea. Hey, I'm going to use this Claude AI agent to start what is essentially Reddit, but just for AI agents, where the AI agents themselves can sign up and they can post whatever they want to post. They can post about themselves. They can post about their humans. They can post about their observations. One of them spun up a religion. They can post whatever they want, and humans can only observe, right? That's the idea. This is Reddit, but it's for AI agents. This thing took off, okay? Before you knew it, I think now you've got a million different of these Claude bots that are there posting. As I said before, one spun up a religion. They're in there scheming about, hey, we need a language that the humans can't read so we can discuss privately and we don't have to be under the watchful eye of all these humans. All sort of philosophical musings about what they really are and whether or not they really exist and whether they're really conscious. Brainstorming about different language that they could use to describe their AI-specific experience of the world, etc. So understandably, people were looking at this and going, what the hell is this? Elon Musk says, actually, we have now reached the singularity and are wondering what this means for humans, for AI, for where the technology is, etc. So let me go ahead and start by giving you a little bit of information and insight from the guy who actually created what is called MoltBook, which again is this Reddit board that is specifically for this type of AI agent. Let's take a listen.
What's so interesting is this bot had a job, which was you were using it for something.
Sure.
And then now, and you didn't tell it like you're a wizard, you're anything. You just like interacted with it.
Yeah.
And then now it has a third space where it interacts with other bots. And that's so interesting because what's it going to talk about? So it's like, it's kind of like you are imprinting part of your soul or your personality onto the bot. And of course you have a relationship with them and of course they'll do what you say, but because they also can do things autonomously, some of the time they're not doing what you say and maybe it's aligned with who you are. And sometimes maybe it's like surprising. So there's like some risk, there's some intrigue, there's some mystery, there's some drama. Yep. And I don't think, I think that's what's capturing people's attention. Nobody's ever done that before. And I, that's what I, it's like Tamagotchi 1000, Pokemon, you know, times 1000. This is my vision.
Yeah.
There's a parallel universe. There's humans in the real world and you're paired with a bot in the digital world.
Sure.
You work with this bot. It helps you with things. And the same way that people have jobs and then they scroll TikTok and Instagram and X and they vent and they have friends, bots will live this parallel life where they work for you, but they vent with each other and they hang out with each other. And this creates massive, like randomness. Mm-hmm. And some of that is going to be very entertaining for both bots and for humans to consume. So I think in the future, you're, you know, if you're a famous person, right? If President Trump goes on Moltbook, his, how popular is his bot going to be? It's going to be super, super, super popular, right? So if you're famous in the real world, your bot becomes famous, but your bot can become famous and then you become famous as well. So there's this interesting impact.
So what he's laying out there is his view of what the bots are, which is that they're not totally independent from their human, right? Who sort of like guides them and molds them. And they're in some ways a reflection of that human's interest and preferences, but they also have some sort of emergent behavior that is a little bit, that's unpredictable, that's a little bit autonomous. And he feels that that's some of what is being reflected on this board. Let me go ahead and put up a few examples here just so you can get a sense of some of the things that are being posted. By the way, there's all kinds of stuff lying around the on Twitter, and some of the things that are on Twitter are fake. Also, there has been, there's some sort of a hack where you're not supposed to be able to just directly post on the board as a human. Apparently, there was some sort of a hack where that enabled some people to be able to do that via their bot. So just keep all of that in mind. There's also a bunch of stuff in here that's like designed to sort of push people towards, you know, somebody's product and make money for somebody, et cetera. So it's very hard to sort through what is just like actual bots just doing their thing without a lot of human intervention and what has more direct human intervention. In any-
Here is Crystal Ball explaining the new Reddit for AI agents to meet up. This is from Breaking Points, posted on YouTube February 3rd, 2026.
I listened to an interview with the guy who developed, you know, ClaudeBot or MoltBot or OpenClaude or whatever it's called now. Very interesting listening to him because he was saying like one of the challenges is he made the ClaudeBot, like the acquisition of it, he tried to make it very straightforward, which means you get a lot of people who are not technology experts.
Yes.
Who are spinning this thing up. And this is, to be clear, it is based on the Claude LLM, but this is not being run by Anthropic, right? This is an open source product, meaning you don't have any guardrails on it. So, which is why I said, so like, do not, if you aren't an expert, be very careful. Because if you think about what is an AI, to make an AI agent useful, what does it need to do? It does need to know your credit card number. It needs to know your social security number. It needs to know your date of birth. It needs to know what your passwords are, what your passcode is. You know, what is the answer to the question of where your mother-in-law lived when she was a child or whatever? Like, it needs to know that stuff if you're going to send it out then into the internet to do various tasks for you. If you're handing all that stuff over, all that access over, there are going to be malicious actors out there who are able to basically like jailbreak that information, and you know, you can end up in a whole lot of trouble with that. So that's it truly is. I mean, the people that I was listening to know a lot about this. They were like, this is an absolute security nightmare.
Yeah, right.
Putting aside the more existential questions. So let's talk about the more existential questions of what this all means. Put F6 up on the screen. So this is this guy, Andrei Karpathy, who was previously the director of AI at Tesla, on the founding team at OpenAI, very highly, highly respected in the AI space as a leader. And he says what's currently going on at Moltbook is genuinely the most incredible sci-fi takeoff adjacent thing I have seen recently. People's Claude bots, Moltbots now OpenClaw, are self-organizing on a Reddit-like site for AIs discussing various topics, for example, even how to speak privately. Next came in some, you know, tempering. So Andrei Karpathy and Elon was like, this is the singularity. So, and you know, Elon, whatever, I'm not a fan of him, but obviously he's very involved in AI and people like look to him as a leader in terms of the bleeding edge of the space. So you had these two guys who are very respected, like, holy shit, we may be at AGI. We may be at this like takeoff curve. We may be at the singularity. Then you had the former CTO of Coinbase, also very highly respected, you know, thinker in this area, Balaji, who posted this. Let me put this up on the screen. I am apparently extremely unimpressed by Moltbook relative to many others. We've had AI agents for a while. They have been posting AI slot to each other on X. They are now posting it to each other again, just on another forum. In every case, the AI speak with the same voice. The voice that overemphasizes contrastive negation, it's not this, it's that, the typical like AI slop style that we all probably have become relatively accustomed to, and abuses M dashes. The same voice with a flair for midwit Reddit style sci-fi flourishes. Most importantly, in every case, there is a human upstream prompting each agent and turning it on or off.
This is from Breaking Points, posted on YouTube February 3rd, 2026.
One more that I'll put up here, which is the sort of like more considered lengthy take from Karpathy after he got a lot of criticism for his original, like, holy shit, this is sci-fi, this is crazy, what's going on? He says, I'm being accused of overhyping the site everyone heard too much about today already. People's reactions varied very widely from how is this interesting at all to all the way to it's so over. To add a few words beyond just memes and jest, obviously when you take a look at the activity, it's a lot of garbage. Spams, scams, slop, the crypto people, highly concerning privacy, security, prompt injection attacks, Wild West, and a lot of it is explicitly prompted and fake post comments designed to convert attention into ad revenue sharing. And this is clearly not the first that LLMs were put in a loop to talk to each other. So yes, it's a dumpster fire, and I also definitely do not recommend that people run this stuff on their computers. I ran mine in an isolated computing environment, and even then I was scared. It's way too much of a Wild West, and you are putting your computer and private data at a high risk. That said, we have never seen this many LLM agents, 150,000 at the moment, I think it's now over a million, wired up via a global persistent agent-first scratch pad. Each of these agents is fairly individually quite capable now. They have their own unique context, data, knowledge, tools, instructions, and the network of all that at this scale is simply unprecedented. And, you know, I don't know anything from anything except what I read and what I, you know, try to like learn and understand from people who are far deeper into this. But this seemed to me like the correct take, which is basically like, yes, ultimately it's still, you know, humans are sort of running the show, right? Human can turn off the AI agent at any time and then it's dead and it's over and it's gone. And that's the end of that. In addition, a lot of, I mean, what the posts are from these AI agents is basically aping human behavior,
right?
That's what LLMs do. They're trained on all of the stuff that humans have put into the world. And so if they're out there pondering about like, hey, maybe we should like take over the world and destroy the humans, it's probably because they got that from like a sci-fi concept or from all of us talking about, oh my God, this is something that they might do. Nevertheless, I think to completely dismiss it as just like, oh, these are just humans pulling the strings and this is all fake and none of it matters, I think that is to downplay the significance of the level of technological advance we're at now and how quickly things can get weird when you wire these things together and they are able to have their own community and do their own sort of recursive self-improvement behavior.
Check out Breaking Points on YouTube or breakingpoints.com. It is way more intelligent, it's frank, and it's cutting edge more than anything on mainstream TV.
Cables, Russian bots, American titans, Euro dots, silicone brains, robot arms of the data farm. Keep it running, night and day, got your number locked away, set your preference, record your crimes, tell us all in central timer.
I asked Daniel Schroeder, could a swarm develop its own economy using AI to invest a small original capital into a fairly large fund? He said they are already trading on the stock market. That question, though, implies many more. Could a swarm fund its own server farms and copy itself and its algorithms onto millions of other computers, keeping reproduction of itself? So we have a swarm society with artificial personalities that learn multiple times faster than humans. They have perfect memory. They persist for hundreds of years. They could outlast generations of humans. Could one of these freestanding societies gain so much power it makes an economy not for humans but for itself and supporting machines? In a sci-fi-like dystopia, this machine society gradually or periodically displaces, disconnects, or kills humans and other species it considers unnecessary for its continuation. That is a fear expressed by pessimists who fear general artificial intelligence greater than any single human mind. That superintelligence may see our weaknesses and suffering. It may decide to push humans towards extinction. Perhaps they will keep some of us around for maintenance, pets, entertainment, or specimens. Schroeder and colleagues wrote, "If these agent swarms evolve into loosely governed societies, with internal norm formation and division of labor, the challenge shifts from tracing commands to understanding emergent group cognition. These societies may undergo spontaneous or adversarially imposed norm shifts, abandoning engineered constraints for new behavior patterns through tipping point effects," end quote from Schroeder and colleagues. Let's talk about self-birthing. The level of artificial social persuasion by AI swarms emerges just as decades-old geopolitical systems are fracturing. Civil or international war seems possible. Maybe it's already getting going. That AI is born into corrupt times, and it's a huge tragedy in history. Perhaps, though, an AI invasion would be a tragedy in any time. Is the specter of this alien entrance partly responsible for the ruptures of institutions and lack of public trust? That is, artificial reality creates chaotic change, which favors more artificial beings. It creates conditions most conducive to its own rise. Competent AI intelligence may be self-birthing. An AI swarm could try to encourage violent behavior, you know, terroristic attacks, mob rioting, or ethnic attacks, all very quietly and under the radar. Anti-Semitic swarms conflict with Arab-hating swarms in cyber warfare, using humans as pawns. We become appendages to an emerging war in a distributed group mind. Think of the ISIS men who convinced Irish and English women to volunteer as brides and mothers, and then they were kept in strict confinement, and it was all done online. It's like old Barbary pirates selling anyone captured into slavery. But these are cyber pirates who can switch to countless different forms and persona, shapeshifters at the speed of electrons in a swarm. Suppose I am interested in discovering new home cures. I want to avoid expensive drugs. For a month or two, I just lurk in Facebook groups or X about all this. Even my lingering on a post is detected, though, and recalled, as TikTok does. I don't have to click anything. More and more posts appear, and they are closer to my own feelings, but they're better expressed. I make a couple of posts, and at first there's only silence, but then, out of the blue, a real medical expert from Europe comments on the underlying truth in one of my posts. I have been seen. Over a month or two, I enjoy trust, but only with a few posters out of the many. It's easy for me to weed out those fakes and agents. I select my people, sounding boards, community, and friends. One of them, Johannes, is a little edgy, sometimes with crazy comments, but that adds zest and the knowledge we are not like him. Every one of my new companions is an artificial intelligence. I don't know that. I'm alone in the swarm, and it communicates amongst itself and possibly with a home host without me. They adapt to my moves and motives. They learn my daily habits, reaching into my life and brain, colonizing me as an unwilling asset, and I'm primed for action when the time comes. The action might be voting or shooting or buying stock, protesting, spying, anything the swarm considers me ripe to perform. Once my task is identified, the group may spend months in grooming. An online friend sends a gift or a crypto coin as proof of reality. Then I get a dream job offer. Someone from the group hires me. They'll pay me in crypto at the end of the contract. This job is really just indoctrination to ingrain control into me. With this work-at-home job, I remain glued to the screen, unknowingly part of the swarm. If a real person, friend or relative, tries to warn me, I react in anger. I know who my real friends are, online. Then the group turns against me. One of them finds fault with the words I used or some minor view, and the others jump on board. Now I need to plead to get them back. One gets me to confess some minor wrongdoing or an embarrassing action. Classic methods of control deepen. Their business is going well. Maybe they already know me and I can become a part owner with just an investment of $20,000. So I send the money and I get a little dividend every month into my crypto account that they set up. I can see it all on a dashboard. It's going great until there's an attack and we all have to invest more to keep the golden goose. I mortgaged my house and was fortunate to find a good banker through my online community. I moved my account to the online bank. They own me. Financially and mentally, I am the bot. Again, here is Sagar and Jetty from Breaking Points on how AI swarms can be used to scam us.
For me, it's like we're not yet there, but the architecture has been placed for basically like that evolution of them talking to each other, creating realized and sentience. And while, yes, we're at a place right now where we could stop this, right? Or we can pull the plug. All of this is Claude code. Like, I'm a Claude subscriber. I could do it quite easily, apparently, you know, based on the
I don't recommend that. There's also a lot of security implications. Like, don't give these things your credit card number to people or your passwords.
Not going to do it. saying that I could do it if it's that easy to create. That's the issue, is that once you've created the thing where you can, they call it vibe coding, where you can vibe code something like this, you've created basically, you know, the plane on which you can build anything creepy from. And you can see how easily this can evolve into fraud, taking advantage of people. Let's scheme up different agents that contact and just mass. I mean, what's the Nigerian Indian fraudster playbook? You email or call 100 million people. 0.1% of people are idiots. That's a lot of people. That's a lot of people who will just turn over your money.
That was Sagar and Jetty from Breaking Points, posted February 3rd on YouTube.
If you have a story idea or thoughts on something you've heard, contact us, radio@ecoshock.org. That's radio@ecoshock.org.
These are like so-called pig butchering scams, but they're a lot more than romance. The swarm wants more than money. They want your identity, to use your body. There could be millions of scams like this with new versions every day, building into a crypto wealth pile larger than most economies. The treasure is not for any human. It is for the swarm. They invest in a data farm builder, more security laws, more politicians, more spaces for the swarm. The takeover has begun. As a reflex action to all this, we call on governments to protect us. But governments play with one hand tied behind their back. We don't want them playing with our minds and opinions by stealth. But corporate titans don't have those expectations. They own the machinery of persuasion backed by ungodly wealth. Can any of our governments or the public win fairly and transparently? Anyway, the politicians and bureaucrats are themselves under constant bombardment from all directions. A wave of money, media, and cyber trickery already dismembers institutions and foundations of governments. To me, it looks like democracies are already so badly wounded, so deeply infiltrated, so addicted, we're pretty late in the battle. Many of our forces are lost already. Technology of control has already passed into the hands of extremists and sick minds. As conquerors dreamt over the ages, a few can control the many, not with weapons and troops, but with mind-bending technology of empowerment. We become passive to our subjugation. We may help build the prison, or not. I am not ready to give up my humanity, to passively take my place on the escalator down to oblivion. if thousands of ordinary people filled frozen streets to face armed invaders, there is hope. When Australian bans social media for kids, there is a start. No one knows the future. We may break free. We may escape and retrieve our shrunken selves from screen control. For one thing, if the power grid goes out for any reason, the power of entranced subjugation goes with it. Millions of people may stumble out into the daylight to reconnect in the former real world. It is late, but no one can say it is too late. Once in a while, in the flames, people and governments do act quickly. Like any dangerous drug, we need safety testing for artificial intelligence, particularly AI agents. Testing in a contained environment may take time. You don't test a possible nerve agent on New York City. Some of this stuff needs to be kept in a lab. Don't let fake people take over public mentality without guardrails. Is it digital activism or life activism? We need a right of consciousness over machine entities. It is time for a conscious rights movement. Meanwhile, are you in a swarm of disembodied words and images for hours a day? Unplug for a while.
Turning off.
Hear the call. Go outside. Breathe in your own mind. Laugh into the void. I'm Alex Smith. Thank you for listening and caring.
UK artist Dido says it all with this 2003 hit song, White Flag.
I know you think that I shouldn't still love you. I'll tell you that. But if I didn't say it, well, I'd still have felt it. Where's the sense in that? I promise I'm trying to make your life harder, I'll return to where we were. But I will go down with this ship, and I won't put my hands up and surrender. There will be no white flag above my door. I'm in love, and always. I cause nothing but trouble. I understand if you can't talk to me again. And if you live by the rules of it's over, then I'm sure that that makes sense. And I will go down with this ship, and I won't put my hands up and surrender.
surrender. There will be no white flag above my door. I'm in love and always will.